couple of different speakers here the last couple of weeks. So we had Pastor Chris Lodewijk. It's always an amazing blessing to have here. Then we had Pastor Tien, Pastor Van, who consecutive weeks. Very different people, but both very specific in their gifting, a great blessing. And then obviously last week having Trevor Sampson, which was also a great blessing. So that doesn't happen often, but it was a great blessing to have them. And so what I want to do this morning is quickly just look back again at some of the vision that we distilled from months of prayer and intercession and just kind of seeking God around just refreshing the picture for us here in the UK and just in terms of getting to grips with the nuts and bolts of, you know, God as having put us here for a reason and a purpose. So we're going to look a bit at that, and we're going to look at a few basics around that, and a little bit practical as well. I'm just going to put this on so I don't stay here till 1 o'clock. Okay. Right, so we looked at the basic vision of we looked at neighborhood to nations. If we look at the commission that we receive as a body, and we're going to look at that in a moment, but our hearts are in the local community, so we really want to think, I'm trusting for this next year coming up, that we would become much more stuck in the local community in various ways, and I'm trusting God for us to recognize needs that we specifically need to get stuck into. But our hearts are in the community. We are called to the neighborhood, to our neighborhood, and we're called to be agents of change here. We're called to make disciples here. But at the same time, we're also called to nations. And we see that when Jesus says to the disciples, listen, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. And then he says to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which was in their neighborhood, in Judea, which was their kind of county, I suppose. In Samaria, which was a kind of a cross racial and ethnic background, top of across the border in terms of that, and then also to the ends of the earth. And so, you know, for me, that means that 100% we get 100% stuck in the local community, but at the same time, we have to have our eyes on nations, on discipling, on going to all the world, and constantly keeping that balance of, yes, I am stuck in right here, but at the same time, I know God has called us to go into all the world. Are you with me? So that's a tricky balance, but I believe if we're connecting with the heart of God, it's not going to be tricky. It's going to be easy, because that's where God's heart is at. And what we're really blessed with here, right, in the UK, is we have nations represented here, so that makes it easier for us. Was it in a bus or in an elevator? Oh, no, here it was a lift. Of the day, just all the different languages, you just realize, wow, you know, it's such an amazing place. It's such a privilege we have to be here. So that's the heart around that, getting stuck in locally, but at the same time, we're sending mission teams into Europe, we're sending mission teams all over the world, specifically, lots of teams from South Africa. And you know what, I'm keen for us to join those teams as well. If you'd rather be going to India or to Africa, the Middle East, talk to me. We're keen to send little teams here to join teams from the southern congregations as well. Right. So in terms of call to care, very much the heart of the gospel, caring for those who are marginalized, those who are disenfranchised, those who are in need, those who are not being cared for. Very much the hands and feet of Christ in the community. And we know this, but what I'm trusting for specifically in Weybridge, and I want to ask that if you have ideas, and if you have something on your heart, if you recognize something in the community, that you can please come and talk to us. Because I'm trusting for us to really get right stuck there, right into, and maybe even areas where nobody else is getting around to. Maybe no other churches are getting there, or maybe charities are struggling to get to those needs, and I just feel even if we start small, that we have to trust God to get stuck in where He wants us to get into in terms of caring for people. If one, you know, having been to India a couple of times as an African mission, you see crazy things. You faced with the reality of what third world looks like and the third world needs that are very real. I watched the footage again of people on mission this weekend. You know, it stirs your heart where there are communities these days where people will be born and live and die without having ever used an indoor toilet like we do, or with running water. So that sounds improbable, but it's true. So, you know, and you know, I remember driving in Mumbai in one of those little taxis of theirs, and we landed very late at night. We arrived, but all the time, all three times I went there. And it's just funny because, you know, when you're in the aircraft, they show you so the stats of what's happening. So yeah, they show you the speed and all the stuff. And they also show you the temperature. So when you're up at 30,000 feet or something, it's obviously very cold there. And then as we came down, it was in the middle of the night, right? 2 o'clock or something. It went up to like 29, 30 or something. Surely that can't be right. And then we got out of the airplane. It was I thought it must be the engine because of the warm air. It was like in my face. I thought, okay, let me just get out of the engine here because the engine is still cooling off. But I was far from the aircraft. I realized, no, it's not stopping. And I remember when the first time we went, somebody said it's like somebody pointing a hairdryer in your face all day, you know, and it was really like that. But anyway, so driving in the middle of the night from Mumbai to our accommodation, from the airport to our accommodation, I remember seeing, you know, past in the next to the highway we're driving on, a little strip of land, little, like just a couple of meters. And then there was a railway. And there were people living there on that little spot. And so that's, you know, we recognized that there are crazy needs out there like that, and that's part of the reason why we have to put our eyes on the nations as well, and eyes on how can we help, how can we support the churches and the charities that are working there, what can we do. But what I've found living in the UK is that the need here are just as desperate, but they just look different. Guys, and I want to just have us be careful that we don't think because there's you know, NHS is great, and because we have social support from the government in amazing ways in this nation, it's really a blessing. But at the same time, that the needs are just as desperate, but they just look different. And maybe not that, that doesn't maybe mean that there are people, you know, living in conditions like that, although there are people living in the streets. But in the big picture, the needs are different, but they are there. The loneliness in this country is a massive problem. Depression, if you look at the stats over the last couple of years, it's crazy. And it's a lot of social, obviously, needs, and obviously there's spiritual needs. We're not even talking about those. But I want to say, let us open our eyes and trust God to move something in us in terms of the need around us. And how we can actually, even if it starts small, how we can be instrumental in change in those areas. Are you with me? Leaders to Launch, very much part of who we are as Shofar, is raising up leaders and sending them out. Okay, so we've been doing lots of sending, but I'm okay with that because it's part of who we are, and I think. You know, I was chatting to a pastor friend of mine a while ago. He's actually moved up north now from Wimbledon. And he was saying, you know, as church leaders, and even, I suppose, in the ministries maybe that you're involved in, you're thinking, you know, I want to build the perfect team. And then we've arrived, you know, build the perfect sound team. You know, Trevor and Louis and the guys are going to build this perfect team, and then they're going to just be amazing. And we're going to build a perfect team around the children's ministry, and then it's going to just be a great forever. And the worship, the same. You know, we're going to build a team, and then we're going to be amazing. But it doesn't really work like that. I think might have also noticed that it's never permanent. And so we kind of need to make peace with the fact that we continually raising up people. Obviously, that's part of making disciples. Continually raising up leaders, and continually launching people into whatever destiny God has prepared for them. So that's an exciting part of who we are. And I'm so excited about that in terms of the UK, because again, nations they're represented here that are very difficult to reach. I'm sitting next to the Japanese guy in small group a couple of months ago, and I realized, you know, he probably only prayed once. Now we were talking about how what it means to pray, and we were, you know, practicing prayer. So amazing, because we're trusting for him to get discipled. But how powerful is that, sending somebody discipled back to their nation where it's difficult to spread the gospel? Amen. So that's what we're looking at. So in general, in terms of the big vision that we've received, the commissioning from God, what we're basically doing is, let's just go look back at this, okay? So how clear is that? Okay, not too bad. Okay, this is a bell curve, but it's not really not really so relevant, but it was the template that worked well for me, okay? So there's a, if you think of the kingdom of God on the one side and the kingdom of darkness on the other side, obviously Christ's work, and we look at that later, Christ's work makes it possible for us to go from one to the other. But in terms of us thinking we want to make disciples, and we want to see people's lives transformed, and we want to see people's lives change, it seems that there's a massive gap these days between the average guy on the street and being here in the service on the Sunday. There's a huge separation there. For some, they might have been in church, gotten hurt in church. For some, it's just so foreign to how they grew up. They didn't even know, they know about church, but it's just very foreign to where they're at. And again, you know, speaking to people that have, I think they were from a Hindu background, but I spoke to the guys, and they said they heard of Jesus, they heard the name, but they don't know anything else. You know, so it's really like far. I mean, I don't even know about church yet. But so if we're thinking of us wanting to somehow bridge that gap from the community out there and from the average Joe on the street to somebody that's coming to church, and I want to just latch onto something that Pastor Vanner said 2 weeks ago. He said if our end goal is for somebody to come to church, we're not going to achieve much, okay? Because this is not the end goal. It's not for somebody to come on a Sunday. Our end goal, and let me just go to that then, is for somebody to go from here where there's no relationship with God, and obviously all kinds of other things as a result of that, to a place where somebody is in the kingdom of God. And that means not that they have attended church, but that they have a real living relationship with God, that they have a relationship with the Word of God and with the people of God. So we're looking at somebody that is connected to Christ, connected to God through Christ, somebody that's growing in that, somebody that's relating to the Word of God in terms of... And you know what? I found if I daily relate to God through His Word, I cannot but grow. You can't stop it from happening. Amen? With the inspiration of the Spirit, you get into the Word daily, guess what? You can't stop it. You're going to grow. And then obviously relating to the people of God, fellowship with God, people of God. In other words, that's obviously where membership comes in, being part of a local body, getting stuck in. And then a key thing that Van also mentioned is somebody to come to a point where they can feed themselves, where they're digging into the Word in their own time, where they're connecting with God personally, where they're connecting with the Word, and where they actually then start to come to a point where they're making disciples as well. Are you with me? So our end goal is not for somebody just to come through the door on a Sunday and be like, yes, you know. That's obviously brilliant, but our end goal is for somebody to be at that place in their relationship with God where they are running with God, where they are, they have momentum, they're growing, they're feeding themselves from the Word, and they have healthy relationship with God, with the Word, with people, and then it's very key that they're actually coming to a place where they can reproduce. Amen. That's exciting. So that's what we're looking at in the big picture. And So what I want to say is that, okay, the end goal, as when we looked at the big picture, was not to only come to church, but for somebody to come to this place of healthy growth. And up to that, this morning, we want to look at just a few practicalities around that. Pastor Vanner mentioned that, you know, what we try to do is try to create a bridge from the community into the kingdom. For most people these days, it's too far a jump to come from where they are now straight to service. I don't know if you agree with me. Obviously, there are some people that will just come. Okay, always have those. But on the whole, I found it's more difficult here to invite somebody to church and they come than it was back in South Africa. For an example, same in Africa. Up in Africa, people are very open for spiritual things. So it's a different thing. All right, so. So what we're doing is we're creating steps in between to make it easier for somebody to bridge that massive gap between where they are at and coming into the kingdom and to that place we want them to be. Are you with me? Okay, so why? Why is this important? Why do we care? I just want to say, guys, I have to hurry. But I've noticed that having small children, although that's a great blessing, okay, don't get me wrong. It's a great blessing and a great joy, but it seems to tend to want to consume your life a little bit. Okay. So if you're not in that season now, please forgive those that are. But it seems to take a lot of time and attention, and what I want to say, I understand that because I'm also there, but at the same time, I feel that our families will be blessed, and that goes for anybody here. Your work and your relationships and your career, whatever you're doing, will be blessed if you and I keep our focus and keep our priorities in place. And my children are going to be blessed if that happens. Okay, so it's difficult. It's more difficult for me at the moment to really keep connected with the heart of God because I've got lots of things screaming for my attention, literally. At that moment, two little beings that are, you know, screaming for our attention. But I was just so struck again this week with the impact of our focus on our children, how that blesses them when our focus is in the right place. Okay, so we have been called and commissioned by Christ, and I want to really. What I'm trusting for this morning, that this will become a personal thing for you and I. That it's not a thing of, you know what, the church has got this cool thing, and the church has got this thing about neighborhoods and nations and things in the church, but for us to bring it closer to home, what does it mean for me? If I'm a member here, if I feel this is where God has called me to be, does that mean that He has actually called me and commissioned me as well? Matthew 28, we know this. I'm just going to give you the big picture here. Okay, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So with that, the authority He sent us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And we know this. I'm not going to spend time on this. This is the big commission. This is the big picture. This is the mandate. Okay, I'm going to get back to that one. And then I want to get it more practical. Okay, so when we look at, the response of God to what He sees, isn't this how we also should be responding in terms of why do we want to see people discipled? Why do we want to see people come to Christ? Why do we want somebody to come from darkness into the kingdom? Why is this necessary? Now, Matthew 9, we see a beautiful picture of Christ and His ministry from verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. And this speaks to me in a very personal way. Some of you might know the story of when I was in a course in Austria, an evangelism course. We went to the red light district the one day to minister to the prostitutes there and the pimps and the drug dealers and etc. And it was really difficult for me because it's very far from the kind of environment I grew up in. And I really struggled. I said to the Lord, you know, I really don't know what to say. I mean, normally in most of the other days that we went out, I was 100% fine. I was enjoying it a lot. But this was really tough for me. And I said, Lord, I can't relate at all where these people are at. And I don't even know where to start. What do you talk about type of thing, you know? And I remember standing there and I remember praying, and it's as if the Lord did something with me, like what happened to Christ there, because I asked God, I said, Lord, show me your heart. And I can just, you know, from that moment, I stood there weeping like a baby for a couple of minutes. It's quite embarrassing, but I experienced that, of something moving, something inside Christ, you know, God stirring something there for in terms of his heart for people. And I can really relate to this because Christ saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. And not only did that, what happened with me that day is I was moved on the inside and some stirred in the inside, and that moved got me to move in terms of going into action. And I was able to share with people. I was to pray with people. And in Christ's sake, in Christ's example here, he obviously was ministering and he was reaching out and he was doing a thing. But Christ moved to the point of the cross. His love moved him to the point of giving his life. Okay. So when we're stirred with something we see, when something stirs in us in terms of a need that we see, we cannot but move. Are you with me? We cannot but respond. We see the love of God. It's the same way in John 3, 16, 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The love of God moves him to send him. He looks at us. He has compassion on us. And what does he do? He sends Christ. His only Son. And something struck me this weekend. Again, you know, thinking of the needs of somebody in a third world country, or that little boy that I saw living in that little strip of ground, sleeping on the floor, trains on the one side, highway on the other side. And what struck me was somebody asked the question, how would it look different if that was my daughter? There. How would my response be different? I just want you to ask yourself that question. And the reality is, if it was my daughter sitting next to a road with very little clothing, and she's four, no, she's not even four, she's three, sorry, she's three. Getting ahead of myself, yeah, she's three. She wouldn't have a clue. You know, just there, not eating, not having a place to sleep. You know what? Get there. Make a plan. You know, get on the first flight. Do whatever is necessary. You won't be able to stop me. Are you with me? And if for some reason I would be in a situation that I would be, you know, like locked up or something that I can't get, I would call 50 people and say, you need to get there. And what I'm talking about is how does our response differ that to somebody that we see in need in our community, or somebody that we know is in need of the love of God. And I want to maybe say it like this in a different way, is that, say for instance, in terms of our need for salvation, if I knew that my father was going to die next week, I probably won't be here. I would be in South Africa, praying with him and making sure his case is right with God. Are you with me? And I would do whatever I must to be there, or you know, my cousin or somebody that I have and I love and I have a relationship with and that I know maybe they're not yet right with God. I will get there. Are you with me? And I want to say to us people that the love of God and His love in us and through us requires of us to think about our reaction to the need around us and how we respond to it, our urgency in terms of responding to that need, our urgency in terms of responding to the fact that those people that come to my NCT group or the mothers group or my colleagues at work or the guys that I cycle with, whoever they are, what is the urgency in which I respond to the fact that they still need to come across the bridge, they still need to come across the chasm into the kingdom of God? Are you with me? So what urgency is in my heart? And I want to look at Matthew 9. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Now, read this. Sorry, this one. 25. Matthew 25. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." I just want to add there, I didn't know the gospel and you shared it with me. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did..." Oh, that, what comes in between there, the guys were saying, "Lord, when did we do this for you? When did we give you a drink?" And they ask, "We don't remember this." And the king will answer and say to them, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Guys, so that's on my heart this morning. That's my heart for us to, as we look at practical things, to think, am I responding in a way that I would have done if it was Christ? Are you with me? Am I responding to my neighbor, or my colleague, or even the need that I see in my community? Am I responding with that same urgency? Okay. All right. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to quickly look at some of these practical things. This is not rocket science, guys. I wanted to trust God to sow some seeds, Holy Spirit, to just stir something in us in terms of where we are already at. Okay, do you see where this is now in the big picture? This is where the gap is, okay? Okay. All right, so where could you be positioned? And that's what I love about Pastor Vanner's story, about him going to play rugby in this little town where he's the pastor. And this is also why I mentioned this, being consumed with something. So maybe you're consumed with your children or your job or whatever else. No, you think, you know, maybe I should play rugby for the town in his case, and you think, no, but you know what, after the little, you know, family time is important, and I obviously have got to work stuff, and maybe I'll just go and for a run by myself, you know, keep fit that way. Makes sense, right? But this is the key for me, is for us to deliberately think, okay, I must get exercise, or I want to get exercise, but at the same time, I want to position myself to get to a place where I can be in the same in a space with people where I can reach them. Okay, so what I'm saying is maybe you're already positioned, or maybe you can position yourself. Okay, so very practical. What if you have a sport or a hobby that you can do with other people? So that, can you see what I'm doing here? This is like the step people must take. See, from the one side, they're stepping onto the sport and hobbies, and then they're stepping onto another step, and then they're going to make it. Hallelujah. All right, so sports and hobbies, you know, colleagues, friends in your neighborhood. Again, if I'm going to be exercising, I've heard about this CrossFit thing. Eh? Is it like in the UK already? Is it here? Ben, you have some information for me about that. I'm thinking maybe that's the way to go. Maybe it will mean a lot of punishment for myself, but maybe that's a way to go and be punished in front of other people, and they can laugh at me, and then we can connect, you know, or something like that. Maybe I should look out for something like that. I tried an archery club, but it didn't fly, and But anyway, I'm thinking, how can I position myself in a place where there will be other people? And you know what? They'll probably be the same people. That's not a bad thing. That's what I learned from what Pastor Vanna was saying, that he thought, okay, these are going to be the same guys here for this many times in the year, and I'm going to have at least this amount of hours with them, so I'm going to trust God for just for divine appointments in that time. And he says that the largest percentage of his prayer time goes into praying for the lost, praying for those guys. So those two go together. Amen. So what sports are there? If you're, some guys in church cook amazing. They have we've had wine clubs and dinner clubs, and there's lots of clubs happening. So we've got some great gardeners. Pull in some other gardeners and do it together. Go to the allotments together, you know. Obviously, colleagues are always there. You can't get rid of them, so that's a great opportunity. But what interesting what Pastor Vanna also said is that it's not always the easiest thing to connect with your neighbors, right? So I always thought you must start there. I think still do that, we try. But there are some places where you're already at and some people that you have another connection with that you spend a lot more time with, and that makes sense to put out your faith for those people. You know, we have mothers and toddler groups. We have play groups. We have, people are getting involved in school. So position yourself in a wise way to think, okay, in what way can I make a commitment? Okay, it's going to take some of that. A commitment, say, for a year to say, I'm going to come to this thing every week. Because I'm going to trust, the chances are the same people will be there, and I can reach out to them. Are you with me? I can pray for them. I can trust God for those appointments, those divine connections. So, but people in a similar life phase, so that's in terms of moms and babies, new parents in the community, making food for people, supporting new people that move into the area, practical things like that. Are you with me? Trusting God, Holy Spirit, to drop ideas and stir something in our hearts. Okay. Now, this I got from a book from Bill Hybel, so I'm just very briefly going to mention this. He speaks about living life in 3D. So he starts with develop friendships by engaging people around you. So being very, very deliberate in the friendships that we, pursue. There's two guys that from, when we were still living in Rains Park, I'm still pursuing friendship with them. If we were to be in any other circumstance, we'll probably not be friends, okay? But when we connect fine. But I make extra effort because I want to have a relationship with them. You understand? Because I'm trusting God for this salvation. There's no other reason. It's not comfortable for me because I'm not living there anymore. So it really takes an effort to get around to them. But I'm deliberately engaging them and continuing to build those relationships because I'm trusting God for their salvation. Are you with me? So that got intentional, deliberate developing of friendships, okay? Discover their stories before you tell your story and God's story of redemption. And that just speaks of, some of us come from a background where we are taught to hit somebody with the gospel as soon as they look like they're interested, okay? They don't have a chance, okay, which is amazing. But just the place where you interested in somebody else's life and interested in where they're at, because that's what God is. Are you with me? He's interested. He knows where they're at. So to connect with them, to discover their story, discover where they're at, discover who they are before you share your testimony. This is going to be difficult for some. And before you trust God for maybe an opportunity for them to hear what God has done in your life. To trust God to discover what they are all about. Because that's also how we show love, isn't it? By being interested in somebody else. Okay. Then the third D is discern next steps by following the direction of the Holy Spirit. So then you're thinking of, okay, I've met this guy. He also cycles, so let's do that. Let's cycle. Or they also have young babies, so let's do the baby thing and we do play dates and whatever. Or I've met this person that also likes gardening, so let's do that. Or, you're trying to continue to think, what are the next steps? What are the next practical ways that we can connect with this person? Okay. All right. So next steps, thinking practical. I'm just running through these guys. I'm at the end. We're going to pray a bit through these. Amen. Invitations, guys. I'm just going to throw this out there. I think I know we underestimate what it means for somebody to come from a different place and come and just be amongst us when we fellowship and when we have fun. We underestimate the power of that. And I hear it often when people come and we're just being ourselves, we're just having a dinner, we're just having a birthday party, we're just having a general thing. It's chaotic, children all over the place. But people recognize that there's something different. And it's not something we do. It's because that's what God says. Is you will be known by your love for one another. People will recognize that. People will be drawn to that. So I want to say, don't be deceived. Every opportunity that you have, when it's your birthday or whatever is happening, just grab that opportunity and say, you know what, I want to invite those guys that don't know God, those guys that I'm reaching out to, I'm going to invite them because I want them to be in my space when I'm amongst my brothers and sisters. Amen? That they can see and that they can taste the goodness of God. Don't underestimate that. So just basic things. So I look for opportunities and excuses to invite people, you know. Sitting down with someone, Pastor Vanna referred to this in terms of getting into somebody's space. If it is something, if it is somebody that is open to read scripture, for instance, then great. You know, have them sit around the table, get scripture, read scripture, talk through it, get practical. But again, that basically making an effort to spend time with somebody, quality time in a one-on-one environment is powerful. And then basically, obviously, we create opportunities for people to be invited. We have outreach services. We have baby dedications. We have lots of those. Praise the Lord. And then those are amazing because, you know, people can't say no to that. Especially, it's an English thing, isn't it? The christening thing. It's a big thing. You know, people, if you invite somebody, people are keen to come. So let's grab those opportunities. Let's invite people. Amen. Then I want to quickly share something with you. Now, in many years of doing all kinds of evangelism courses and from different churches, reaching out in different contexts. I mean, I've done outreach in different ways, you know, from dancing in the street and band on the street and tracts on the street, and, you know, random people and praying for random people, to door-to-door evangelism. How would that go down? Yeah. Door-to-door evangelism. Tell you what, that's crazy stuff. Anyway, so from that to, you know, the four spiritual laws or the way of the master, and there's like endless methods and ways and means to reach out. What I want to say is that through all of those, I can say I've identified the best method. Okay, this is the best method, and if you want to write something down, this is the one you should write down today. basically what it is very clear, very easy. It's just to do it in relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that works. So. And this is the most important thing. So if you have a heart to reach out to people, this is the only key. After all these things I've learned and all these courses I've done and all these methods, I can tell you this is the most important one, is to be able to engage with God and hear from the Holy Spirit what's on His heart for the person that you're reaching out to. Amen. Okay, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. He has sent us the Helper, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the person we need to be engaging with in terms of reaching out to others. Okay, I'm way over time, so I'm just gonna end with this. In John 4, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers his fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. I mean, if you would stand with me this morning, we're going to pray.